Hey everyone, it's Tristan here. At Sex Out Loud, we unequivocally support Black Lives Matter and the current uprising for justice. Some of the shows, like the one you are about to hear, were recorded prior to the beginning of the uprising, so I want to provide that context. These discussions are still important to have, in addition to the fight to dismantle white supremacy, examine the roles we play in it, and champion Black Lives Matter. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
I'm Tristan Taramino, and this is Sex Out Loud.
That's why I'm literally writing a whole book about my gender.
My mom and I were on BBC together talking about sex work and disability, which is something I never thought I would ever do.
Where do we learn about how to react to bodily fluid?
People have abortions more than we want to admit, and abortion is beyond healthcare. It's really body autonomy.
Someone talks about porn ruining sex. The question for me is, which porn?
I don't want anybody to fetishize my Jewishness who wouldn't stand next to me at a march.
I just wanted to show polyamory in a way that looks like polyamory.
If you're excited by sexual pleasure and sexual politics, you've come to the right place.
I've been this radical queer agnostic theologian for a long time.
They think that Muslims don't have sex.
There is a very specific history of racism and anti-blackness in this country.
I don't know who started this myth that after people are sexually assaulted, they never want to fornicate again.
We really don't think that change happens without knowing what we're for and not just what we're against.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Do you know that I've done nearly 400 shows that span a very diverse array of desires, fantasies, pleasures, relationships, and kinks? But I have never done a show about this. Today, we're going to talk about a specific kink with the shorthand ABDL. That stands for adult baby slash diaper lover. And thankfully, we have an expert on the subject. I'd love to hear your thoughts about this show and any others. If you have a guest to suggest, if you have a comment, if you want to just ramble on, you can call us anytime at 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. My guest today is Dr. Rhoda Lipscomb, who has been counseling and coaching individuals and couples in human sexuality for over 28 years. She received her PhD in clinical sexology from the American Academy of Clinical Sexologists. She's an ASECT-certified sex therapist, clinical sexologist, and sexuality coach who has been in private practice for over 14 years, specializing in areas of alternative sexuality, open relationship styles, BDSM, kink, and fetishes. She published her first book in 2017 titled No More Hiding, Permission to Love Your Sexual Self. It's an innovative guide for those seeking help on how to be their authentic sexual self. One specialty of hers is adult baby slash diaper lover, ABDL, and she frequently speaks about ABDL at events such as CapCon, TeddyCon, and the US Littles event. She's been a guest expert on multiple podcasts regarding this subject and others, and she really wants to educate therapists to understand and work with ABDL communities. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Dr. Rhoda. Can I call you Dr. Rhoda?
Sure. People call me that all the time. Thank you.
Okay, great.
I'm so happy to be on.
So I often start with a quiz for my guest, which has something to do with what we're going to talk about. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Which do you prefer? A baby cheetah, a baby elephant, or a baby snake?
Oh, wow. Probably the baby cheetah.
Why?
Well, I don't like snakes of any age. And I'm definitely a cat person, so I am imagining a baby cheetah would be cute and cuddly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Despite Good. How quickly it's going to grow up to want to eat me.
Isn't that weird that as babies they can be quite like, they purr and they're affectionate and they're pretty okay with people, and then at some point it's like, nope, it's kicked in, I can kill you.
Yeah. And now your dinner.
Okay. So we are going to talk about this kink, part of the kink community called adult baby diaper lover. Let me just first say that more than a decade ago, I did an article for the Village Voice on this community in New York City. And I will say it was really hard to access, and people who are members of that community were really leery to talk to the media about it. There was a very protective shield over it. And this is like in the early 2000s. And it took me a long time to sort of establish trust and convince these folks that, like, I'm not going to do like an episode of Jerry Springer on this. I'm actually going to think about this thoughtfully. So first, let's define what it is, what it encompasses.
Well, sure. Yeah. And I certainly understand how people from the community are very protective, and because of shows like Jerry Springer, should be very protective.
Mm-hmm.
ABDL is really a kind of a continuum, I like to say, because you have people that are on varying parts of this continuum. So at the far one end, you have the adult babies. And for them, this is more of an identity. It can be a bit of a fetish in a way, in that a fetish truly is where an object or a non-genital body part becomes very fixated and sexually arousing for a person. So in this case, the diaper is generally the fetish object. And many people on the AB side of the spectrum will still have that arousal to the diaper. But more likely, you're going to see them where they feel like they have this side of them that is just a younger self. And they enjoy being in that mental headspace of feeling like they are back at being that age, whatever that age is for them. So they enjoy more than just the diaper. They might enjoy certain toys, wearing a onesie, being read a story and tucked in at night, you know, those kind of nurturing, caring type of things. And while for some of them it's sexualized, there is a certain percentage of them where it's really not sexual for them at all. It's all about the nurturing and that sort of stress and anxiety reduction that they get from it. And it doesn't mean they don't still have a very strong adult side. Often they do. But it's that little side to their personality that is very important. The opposite end of the spectrum, where you have the diaper lovers, for them it is much more the fetish. It is that sexualized item that they're very aroused by, either individually for self-pleasuring, masturbation, or sometimes even with a partner. On rare occasion, I have seen DLs who it's all about the stress reduction, the anxiety reduction, and it's really not sexualized for them. But that's more the majority. Most people on the DL side, it's very much the fetishistic, sexualized type of item. And they're not into that feeling like they have the identity of a little side. Sometimes they often have a hard time going to the conventions, because the conventions are very much geared towards the AB part of the community. And the DLs will go to the conventions, and they're looking around like, well, I don't really want to play in the ball pit, and I don't want to drive a giant tricycle around. Like, it doesn't do anything for them.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, because there is, like, there's this piece of it that is about role play, right? It's about dynamics. And that could be the dynamic within a kink scene. It could be the dynamic between lovers or partners. Like you said, it may be sexual, it may not be for the adult babies.
Right.
But the diaper lovers aren't necessarily role playing. There's no role play, like, attached to the diaper.
Not in the same way, because for the DL people, it's so much more sexualized, generally speaking. The diaper is the thing that is what they enjoy what they're attracted to, what they get pleasure from, comfort from. It's all about the diaper for them. Where the AB people, the diaper is definitely a component of it, but it's much more than that. And some people on the AB side will really do role play where they're playing a role. Other people go into what's called regression, where mentally they will literally regress back to whatever the age is that they are, which is a bit different than role play, because mentally they actually feel like they are that age.
Okay, let's tease that out a little
okay.
more.
So with people who regress, and you're going to see that more on the AB side than the DL side, there's different levels of regression. At the early levels of regression, they kind of know that their little side is there, but at that point their adult side is very much in control. And as they start to go down, the little side kind of takes much more sort of a front stage type of role, and the adult side starts to take a step back. Most people probably wouldn't even notice in those early phases that the little side is coming out, other than someone who knows them well. Like a good example would be if you had an AB and you pass a toy store, the little side of them is going to become very fixated on whatever type of toys they really like. They're really going to notice them, and their focus is going to be very much on them. You know, their partner might recognize it and start to see that little side starting to come out, but someone in the general public wouldn't even notice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as they go deeper into the regression, a good way of explaining it would be if someone's going down the levels of regression, and let's say they're drawing a picture, and at first they're going to be drawing it much more the way an adult would. But as they go down those levels of regression, their drawing is going to become more and more childlike, depending on how far down they regress. Because everybody's age for them is different. Most people have an age. They may be, their little side might be 5, or they might be 2. There's some who have a little side that's an infant, but not as many, because that's a lot more challenging to feel like you're 6 months old.
And you're sort of pre-verbal and right.
You're pre-verbal, you're pre-mobile. I mean, it's a lot more challenging. Plus, what are you going to do? You're going to stare at things.
You're going to sleep, you're going to eat, you're going to poop.
Yeah.
Isn't that what babies do?
you might play with like a teddy bear or something and hold it and cuddle with it. But there's not a lot you can do if your little side is 6 months old. Where if your little side is 3, well, now you can talk, you can walk around.
You can have preferences for different things. You can like candy, games.
You have games. You have a lot more that you can actually do.
See, I tend to think that like there was a discrete line between adult babies who really just wanted to be baby, and then age players who want to be some age other than their chronological age, and in 95% of the cases, a younger age. So this sounds like adult baby and littles are in the same category. Is it semantics? I mean, maybe it is.
It is kind of semantics. Yeah, it's not nice, neat categories. some people will have what they call, adult babies are more and then the adult toddlers, and then adult, early school
children,
age,
right, children, right. And then
adult teens. Most people kind of use the terms generically.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Some people will call themselves middles if their little side is somewhere between, say, 6 and 10. You know, they like to play video games. They like to run around and play the types of games that 6 to 10 year olds play.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to take our first break. I don't know how that happened. I'm really liking this conversation. I feel like it just helps people understand and also gives them language, which is so important. Okay, we're going to take a break, hear from our amazing sponsors. They support me. They support this show. They support the great content that we provide to you. So you should give them some love. Listen to their commercials, use the coupon codes, go to the websites. You know what I mean? Participate in capitalism, people. That's what I'm saying. You know I like to be direct. When we come back, more with Dr. Rhoda. Hey everyone, it's Tristan. So 2020 has been a lot, and we could all benefit from less stress and more sleep in our lives. It's so important to take care of ourselves and invest in our well-being during these times of anxiety. That's why I'm excited to partner with Calm, the app designed to help you ease stress and get you the best sleep of your life. If I don't get a good night's sleep, I'm kind of useless the next day. When I sleep well, I feel better in every part of my life. Calm has a whole library of programs designed for healthy sleep, like soundscapes, guided meditations, and over 100 sleep stories, narrated by soothing voices like Stephen Fry, Kelly Rowland, and Laura Dern. And I don't know if you've heard, but Harry Styles just did a sleep story that everyone is talking about. I don't know about you, but I've been leaning heavily on Calm more than ever right now. During the day, it could be something as simple as a 5-minute meditation, and at night, there are so many options to set me up for a good sleep. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering a special limited time promotion of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/Tristan. That's 40% off, unlimited access to Calm's entire library. Hundreds of hours of programming and new content is added every week. Get started today at calm.com/Tristan. That's calm.com/Tristan. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Have you called me lately? I really would like it. Going to remind you of the number 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. We are talking today with Dr. Rhoda Lipscomb, who is a clinical sexologist, an ASEX-certified sex therapist, and a sexuality coach. And one of her specialties is ABDL, which stands for Adult Baby Diaper Lovers. So one thing that I, as someone who's a member of the kink community, one thing that I have noticed absolutely is that the ABDLers are often, behind closed doors or publicly, ostracized and judged, even by kinksters who have kinks all over the spectrum. Why do you think this particular fetish, of every fetish there is, of every kink there is, of every dynamic there is, freaks people out so much? And by people, I mean non-ABDLers.
That's an excellent question. And I think it really depends on the people. I've seen some kink communities who are very embracing of it, and others who are, like you said, are definitely not, which is surprising considering some of the things different people are into in the BDSM and kink communities. But then diapers are the things that they draw the line on. I think part of it could be that there is still a lot of negative belief systems about what this is. You know, shows like Jerry Springer, shows like My Strange Addiction, or, you know, some of these reality shows that really sensationalize the ABDL community. You know, they show the people who are 24/7, so they're in their baby role 24/7. They need a full-time caregiver. That's such the minority of this community. And so I think for some people, it freaks them out. And like, oh my God, I'm going to have to be somebody's mommy or daddy. And that's exhausting.
Oh, yes, it is.
You know, and like, and it's one thing if you're a parent and you have a child, and those first few years are very labor intensive and exhausting, but you know they're going to grow out of it.
Right.
You know, with this, if you have an adult baby who's 6 months old, they're never going to grow out of that.
But they may only be 6 months old for a couple hours.
Oh, right. Yeah. And if they're only 6 months old for a couple hours, that's different. And even most people who are very into this, there's so much of people trying to control it and repress it and pretend it's not there, that the fantasy of being in that 24 hours a day seems a lot more appealing than the reality.
Right.
Because people forget that most people in this community have strong adult sides mm-hmm. that they enjoy. They have careers. They have
jobs and families and hobbies.
And interests that are very adult, you know, that use that adult side of their brain. And because they're so denied the little side, it's very easy to think, oh, if I could do that all the time, it would be so wonderful and perfect, until they actually get to do it. They forget that, oh, I'm going to miss all the things that I do in my adult life that I enjoy.
Right.
And I always tell people when they're starting this and they're starting to kind of become to a place of acceptance, that the more they give their little side a space to exist, the better their adult side is going to be.
Well, of course, right? Because the repression is what is exactly. So can take hold of you, and it can be so powerful and can squeeze out in other ways.
Right. They don't realize how much their adult side is not functioning at its best because they're repressing this other side.
They're not attending to it, right? Yeah. Or they're also not attending to it. So it's like a combination.
Right.
Do you feel like people who identify as ABDL, I mean, because you've worked with all these clients, do they identify with what we consider BDSM communities? Or are there some who feel like, no, that's not my scene. There's no leather. There's no chains. There's no dungeon.
Some of them do cross over into the BDSM community, or have other fetishes as well. But a lot of them, I would say, are less attracted to kind of the leather, I hate to call it hardcore BDSM, but I don't know that I have a better term. I guess what we tend to think of is the kind of harder core S&M side. They're more into probably they like the dominance and the submission. They like to, and for them, going into little space is kind of a submissive place for them. Because when you think about it, if you're a little kid, you're submissive and someone's taking care of you and someone's in control. Someone else is making the rules.
Yes, yes.
So it does have a very sort of dom-sub type of play for a lot of people. And they might enjoy being spanked. Things like that do cross over, but are not necessarily, they might not necessarily identify themselves as part of the BDSM world.
Is there a variety of things that turn people on about this? You know, you mentioned nurturing, you mentioned, I don't have to make any decisions, I can sort of surrender to this childlike state. What are some of the other things that appeal to people?
Again, it depends kind of on where people are on the continuum. Clearly the DL people are much more into their arousal of the diaper. It might be, and it's all the kind of the sensual aspects. It's the sight of the diaper. It's the, particularly if you wear disposable diapers, the crinkling sound that they make, the smell, the feeling of, a lot of times people like that kind of tight, firm feeling around their genitals. So for people on the DL side, that's very much, you know, what they really enjoy. On the AB side, you know, they enjoy having that person take care of them. You know, often when I was first getting into this and I was meeting couples who were dealing with this, I was curious about, well, what is the mommy, the daddy, the caregiver, what did they get out of it? Because there's a lot of work involved. If you have a little, you know, there's a lot of work involved with taking care of them. And I always thought, well, what are they getting out of this? And as I started going to some of the conventions and meeting people and talking to them, you know, they talked about how often, you know, when we're adults and we have partners, you know, you might be happy to see them at the end of the day, but you don't have that childhood exuberance that your little might express to you when they're so happy to see you that you've just gotten home. Because oftentimes they're able to get into a headspace where they get so happy that mommy or daddy is home. And that kind of appreciation and love at a very different level, people really enjoy. And so it makes the hard work much more enjoyable.
Well, and I would think too, just as someone who does dominance and submission, some people really love to caretake and actually eroticize caretaking. So that's sexy for them. And some people just like to be in charge, right? And when you're the mom or the dad, when you're mommy or daddy, you get to be in charge.
You get to be in charge. Yes. And some people very much enjoy that. And especially once they can, they may have always known that they kind of enjoyed being in charge, but our society doesn't always treat people as well when they kind of want to be in charge.
Well, yeah. And I think especially for women and marginalized folks, we're not taught to want that or act that out.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I know earlier in my career when I was doing some management in medical clinics, and some of my other people I worked with were like, "You're kind of bossy." I'm like, "Okay, but things get done."
Bitches get shit done.
That's right.
No, and of course it's a gender double standard, because if men are called leaders and women are called like bossy and grading.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So.
Okay. I also wonder, this is a big question. Maybe I shouldn't start it. Maybe I should switch gears. So when you work with these folks in private practice, what are some of the general central issues you explore in therapy or coaching with them?
Probably the biggest things that we work on is starting to help them let go of their shame, because there's enormous amounts of shame for people who are part of this community. There's a lot of embarrassment, fear of people finding out. So there's great anxiety that people have. So I'm frequently working with people's anxiety, as well as depending on where they are in relationships. I've been amazed how many people I've met who have been married and married for several years and their spouse does not know.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to figure out, how am I going to tell them this after we've been married for 4 years? Yeah. And so there is a lot of that. How do we educate your partner? How do we negotiate this? How do we get them to wrap their head around it and understand it? Which again, also depends on the partner they're with. People, if they have a partner who's very rigid, rigid in the expectations of how relationships are supposed to be, what gender roles are supposed to be, this can be very challenging to have their partner want to go into these kinds of spaces, and it's very confusing for them. And one of the biggest things people from this community don't want, which they often get accused of, is of pedophilia. They're often accused of being pedophiles, which is not the case. And it's hard sometimes to get people to understand that. I've had to testify in court hearings for like child custody cases where the partner's trying to go to court and claim that their partner is now a pedophile, that they should have full custody and their partner should have no custody. And like there's no evidence of it. There's nothing indicating it. And they're using this as their reason for that.
We got to take another break. Raymond correctly points out to me on the break that I'm asking you to participate in consumerism, not capitalism. And I love nothing but precision. So there it is. Listen to our break, our commercials. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this and about shame and about her book, No More Hiding. More with Dr. Rhoda when we get back. Hi, all. It's pretty difficult to talk about things other than what's going on in our world right now. So delivering these ads to you are tricky for me, and I want to be transparent and honest about that. But also, these advertisers make it possible for us to do the show. And I believe in the ability of this show to help people. I don't consider pleasure something extra or frivolous or unnecessary right now. It is absolutely a part of resistance, justice, and freedom. One of our advertisers is Uber Lube. They make a great body-safe silicone lube with only two ingredients, silicone and vitamin E. No additives like parabens, preservatives, or petrochemicals. It's great for all kinds of sex play. Uber Lube adds a thin layer that leads to just the right amount of slip while still allowing for skin-on-skin sensations. If you need some lube, they're offering Sex Out Loud listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code Tristan at uberlube.com. That's 10% off and free shipping. Just use the code Tristan at uberlube.com. Uber Lube lets you feel what you want to feel. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We're tackling a topic we haven't talked about on the show before, which is a little bit nuts considering how much we've talked about on the show. And that is adult baby and diaper lovers. We're doing it with Dr. Rhoda Lipscomb, who is a sexologist, a sex therapist, and a sexuality coach. And this is one of her areas of expertise. So you talked about shame before the break, and I read that you wrote that, this is a quote, shame, embarrassment, guilt, and fear are poisonous to healthy sexual expression. So letting go of old, irrational, and impractical belief patterns can pave the way for a new and exciting beginning. I mean, this is what we want to get to, right? Is authentic desires, being able to embrace them, maybe being able to share them, speak them out loud. So in that way, I would assume that anyone who's into this, it's like any other thing that is, quote, non-normative or, quote, alternative or outside the bounds of kind of heteronormative sex and desire. There's some of the same themes here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it is a lot of those same kinds of feelings of not feeling like everyone else, not knowing who you can trust to share this with. Will it be used against you? All of that is very much a part of it for people. And often that's a big part of what I work with people, especially initially, when they're getting to that point where they want to let go of all that shame and embarrassment and truly learn to embrace themselves and be themselves, and stop trying to hide this, and figure out what could life look like if I just like myself.
Mm. Wow. It's such a simple question and it's such a profound one, really. That's at the root of so much of our mental health.
Absolutely. Yeah. I tell my ABDL people, because they feel like they're the only ones dealing with this. And I often have to tell them, it's like, yes, what you're dealing with relates to this kind of specific area that is unique to you. However, this is not necessarily a unique issue for people in general. That, like, how many people have I seen from the general public who are not part of the ABDL community, but still struggle to accept themselves, to like themselves, to love themselves? It's such a profoundly human issue that many people struggle with.
I think with a lot of kink, and certainly when I've spoken about BDSM, people always want to know the why. Why are people into this? Which is also the name of a great podcast, by the way, with Tina Horn. And I find that kind of tired and kind of pathologizing. I mean, do you, or people who come into the office with you, do they want to know the why?
Oh, yes. Yes. Especially early on. They want to know, why am I this way? What happened to me? What made me this way? And I, you know, thankfully I've at least done enough research on this. I've, you know, in my private practice, I have probably in the last 10 years worked with approximately 50 people from the ABDL community. And to put that in context, you know, because you can say 50 people over 10 years, I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like that many.
Actually, that sounds like a lot to me, knowing just kinky people and yeah.
Right. But because I know therapists with 20, 30 years of practice, you know, even in sex therapy, who have maybe seen anywhere from 1 to 3 people in that length of time.
I so totally 50, believe that. Yeah.
So 50 is really a lot. And then when you consider all the conventions I go to and I talk with, I'm sure I've talked with several hundred people, not professionally, but just personally. They come up and they want to talk to me and they want to tell me their stories. And so I've probably talked with more ABDL people than any therapist or coach I have met. I really do kind of have I've gotten to where I have a better understanding of that from that perspective. And that it, I've forgotten where I'm going with this.
Oh, well, I asked you, like, do you want to know the why? And do people who come into your office want to know the why?
Yes. And they always want to know the why. And the research, unfortunately, does not give us good answers. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of research out there on ABDL, some great, some not so great, some really bad. But there's different stuff that looks at, well, is trauma involved? And I always hear that from therapists, and other therapists always come to me like, oh, well, this must be some trauma. I need to work with this person on trauma. And I'm like, no.
First of all, the question is trauma involved? The answer is yes. And it's across the board for everyone from all walks of life who have all kinds of sex lives, who have all kinds of desires, who act out all kinds of fantasies. Stop pretending that we don't all have some level of trauma once we get to therapy.
Right. And we've all had
some of us don't make it to therapy.
Yeah. And we've all had some sort of trauma in our life.
Of course.
But it's that kind of that belief that, oh, well, this has been caused by childhood trauma. And I'm like, first of all, I've met many people from this community who've had wonderful childhoods, great parents, and still are ABDL. I've had people with horrendous trauma history, some of whom are ABDL, some of who do not become ABDL. So there's not really evidence that these kind of terrible trauma histories cause someone to become this.
Right.
It's not so simple as to say, oh, well, they must have had bad toilet training or, you know, not a good attachment to their parents. It's like, unfortunately, it's not that simple. We want those nice little simple answers. And I understand why we want them as humans. But this is one of those things that I've seen so many people that there does not appear to be any good reason. It just appears.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it does tend to appear at certain ages in childhood. I mean, most of the people, they either are that post-potty training kind of 4 to 6, or they're pre-puberty, that kind of 9 to 12, depending on when they hit puberty. most people tend to be one or the other. The people who don't fall into those categories are usually women who will get into their 20s because they've been introduced to it by a partner.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another question I have, which is, does this have to, so say someone comes to terms with it and they're like, I want to share this with my partner. Are there cases in which the partner accepts and respects the kink, but says, I don't want to do it with you? And is that sustainable?
Sure. There are people who will say, this is not my thing. I love you. I respect that you need this. I want to make sure you have a space to engage in it, but it's not something I can really do with you. And then it kind of depends on the person. For some people, they can do it by themselves, particularly if they're a DL. Mm-hmm. They can easily do that by themselves. It's part of their self-pleasuring, masturbatory play, and that can work well. As long as they don't have to hide it from a partner. I always tell them that's not really acceptance. If you've got to hide it, you got to pretend it's not happening, that's not acceptance.
Right, right. Well, okay, so speaking of hiding, your book is called No More Hiding, Permission to Love Your Sexual Self. And it's really, you know, to help people find and be their authentic sexual selves, which I think, you know, in all my years of doing this work, is really one of the hardest things.
It is. You know, I really wrote the book because I had just had so many people who were struggling to figure themselves out and you know, coming in kind of asking that question, like, am I okay? Is it okay for me to do this, to want this? and needing that guidance to be able to, you know, say to them, look, this is really not a harmful thing. You're not harming yourself. You're not harming anyone else. The harm, if you're doing anything, is in trying to repress something that's just not going to go away.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, whether it's kinks or fetishes or BDSM or this desire to be in some type of open relationship, you're doing more harm by trying to repress it and not just being true to who you are.
And I think, you know, we have to learn to give ourselves the permission slip. I think sometimes we are looking for someone else to give us permission. And luckily there are people who will witness you and acknowledge you and value you, and there are great therapists. But ultimately, the permission has to be internalized.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I always tell them that, like, I will start giving you the permission you need and help you to grow it in yourself. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, they have to give themselves the permission to be okay with who they are.
Right. And I think that's some of the struggle with partners, right? Is that if they're feeling ambivalent or anxious about it, how do then you bring it to a partner when you haven't worked it all out for yourself?
It's hard to bring it to a partner if you're still in that shame place. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because then you come from that shame place of, oh, I'm this broken, terrible person. Will you still please love me?
Right, which is an awful dynamic. This sort of, yes, like, this is going to sound really weird, and I'm sorry to burden you with the, you know, the kind of like excuses that you make up front, yes, which undermine the whole thing.
Yeah. Right. And it's hard to educate their partner about what it is, what it isn't, if they don't really fully understand themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I always think when you're introducing something new to a partner or something, you're revealing something about yourself, good to have the basic information because they're going to have questions. And you want to be like ready with your little script that's like, oh, right, people think that, or that's a myth. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it is difficult when people are in that phase where they're still figuring themselves out and their partners are going, well, where is this going to go? Mm, and they're, mm-hmm, like, well, I don't know, because I'm still figuring out what I even like.
Right.
It's yeah.
Well, thanks so much for all the work you do in the world. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be on. And, you know, this is a very important thing for me to educate people about, whether it's the general public, therapists, or people within the community, to know that this is not something that needs to be hidden. And it's okay for people to be who they are.
Mm-hmm. And we've got all those folks and more listening.
Good.
The book is called No More Hiding, Permission to Love Your Sexual Self. And it's published by Red Quill Press. And it's available as an ebook on Kindle or as a paperback on Amazon. You can find Dr. Rhoda, who is in private practice, people, just want to say, at drrhoda.com, drrhoda.com. And she's also on Facebook as Dr. Rhoda. I want to thank the man behind the mystery. Doesn't even make any sense. It's Raymond Johnson. Raymond is my senior producer. He's been with me since day one. He also engineers the program. He also edits the program. We also brainstorm ideas for the show. He brings guests. It's like he does it all. Do I even need to show up? No, I do. I need to show up. Okay, so new episodes go up on the podcast platforms on Mondays. Until then, you can get me across social media platforms at Tristan Taramino. The show is on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. You can always email me questions and concerns at Tristan@puckerup.com. And in the meantime, take some time to talk about sex out loud.